Gemara in Brachos tells us that part of the greatness of Bezalel, who built the Mishkan, as we know from this past week's parasha, this coming week's parasha, was that not only was he very, very capable in terms of doing the work, but he was also extremely enlightened in terms of the order of the work. The Gemara says that whereas Moshe told Bezalel about the building of the Kelim before the building of the Mishkan itself, Bezalel said, maybe Hashem Baruch Hu said, build the Mishkan before the Kelim, because first you need the house before the accessories to put in it. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Bezalel Kel Hayisa, maybe you were in the shadow of the divine, that, you know, yeah, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really meant. Today, we have the kavod of hearing somebody who not only is a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and usually I say that through secondhand knowledge. Here I could say through firsthand knowledge, because, ooh, it must have been in 88, the spring of 1988, when Rav Willig's father gave me the zechus of officially learning B'chavrusa with Rabbi Sabalovsky. And I was just like struggling to try to keep up. He, I don't know if you have, you know, like a hot knife through butter, that is the way Rabbi Sabalovsky cuts through a Gemara. But he's also blessed with the gift of Bezalel, the gift of being Bezalel, of putting things in a proper order, in a proper perspective, the gift of clarity, which everybody is about to benefit from tremendously. He's going to be speaking about perhaps the primary mitzvah on the night of Pesach, Inyanim of Achilas Matzah, and then he graciously agreed to accept questions. So please give your full attention to our Sabalovsky Shlita.
There are two special mitzvahs that we perform on Pesach night, both of them being mitzvahs from the Torah. One is the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, and one is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I don't think we're going to get a chance to speak too much about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe we have a few minutes at the end, but I really want to focus today's shiur on the mitzvah d'orais and mitzvah say of Achilas Matzah. So before we can even discuss the mitzvah, the details of Achilas Matzah, namely what is matzah, how much matzah one is supposed to eat, how one is supposed to eat it, when one is supposed to eat it. So we have to really question that very premise. We started out a minute ago by saying that there's a mitzvah d'araisa v'chilas matzah. Well, the question is that really true? So in fact, the Gemara, the very end of Masechas Pesachim, raises the issue that if you look in the Chumash, the Torah always speaks about the mitzvah d'achilas matzah on Pesach night in the context of achilas karban Pesach, al matzah s'merorim yachlu, which may lead one to believe that the mitzvah min haTorah of achilas matzah would only apply bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, only if one eats it in the context of korban pesach bizman hazeh, where unfortunately we no longer have a korban pesach. Maybe one should conclude that min haTorah there really is no mitzvah of achilas matzah. That would be a pretty depressing conclusion. That would kind of end the shiur. We'll go back to Rambam now, because we were only going to talk about a mitzvah d'oraisa today. So Baruch Hashem, we happen to paskin not like that. Although the Gemara does present that as a possibility, the Gemara concludes that that is in fact not the case. And although it's true that the Torah does speak about matzah together with Korban Pesach most times, there is one pasuk that speaks about matzah out of the context of Achilas Korban Pesach. The pasuk in Parshas Bo, be'erev tochlu matzos, which has nothing to do with Korban Pesach. And as such, we derive from here that there is a mitzvah for all generations, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, to eat matzah on Pesach night. So we pass in Halacha LeMaisa that matzah bezman hazeh is in fact the araisa. So we really have to take this mitzvah with the utmost seriousness and really try to understand what exactly is matzah, when one eats the matzah, how one eats the matzah, what time one eats the matzah. We're going to try to be mevarer, try to clarify some of those things today. So the first very basic definition we have to ask ourselves is what constitutes matzah? What exactly is considered to be matzah? So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Pesachim, we have a tradition that matzah is made up primarily of two ingredients. It's made up of flour, it's made up of water. Now when we speak about flour, so we're speaking about very specific types of flour. It's called the Chameshes Minei Dagon. Chameshes Minei Dagon, we're familiar with these, the five special types of flour: wheat, barley, and I'm not going to even define the other three due to lack of clarity perhaps about the other three. But at least wheat and barley we're going to define as chitim u'seorim, as being acceptable to make matzah from. The same types of flour that one would wash and bench on, the same types of flour one would recite ala michion, the same types of flour that are obligated in the mitzvah of separating challah. So those types of flour mixed together with water can potentially make matzah. So wheat and barley for sure are acceptable. There are other types of grains, oats, rye, spelt, which according to many are also acceptable, and according to others, question whether those are really considered to be from Chameshes Minei Dagon. But most of our matzah, 99% of our matzah out there, is regular plain, whether it's whole wheat or regular wheat, doesn't make much of a difference, but it's wheat matzah, so at least we have the first ingredient pretty down pat. What about the second ingredient? The second ingredient has to be water. Now here the Gemara says, this is in contrast to other types of fruit juices. So the person takes flour and mixes it together with, for argument's sake, grape juice or apple juice or something like that, so that is not considered to be acceptable for the mitzvah achilas matzah. Why is that? So the Gemara says that although technically it's matzah, although it is technically considered to be matzah, it's still not acceptable for the mitzvah achilas matzah, because for achilas matzah, the Torah tells us it has to meet the criteria of what's called lechem oni. It has to be literally a poor man's bread, very plain and simple, just flour and water. If you start to put in this nice juice, fruit juices inside, that's what's called matzah ashira. And matzah ashira is not acceptable for the mitzvah of achilas matzah. This is the Gemara in the second paragraph of Maseches Pesachim. Now some of you may be wondering, well, wait a second, matzah ashira, we're talking about flour with other kinds of fruit juices. We never eat matzah ashira. We all know, everybody knows, you're not supposed to be eating what we call colloquially egg matzah. Egg matzah is one of the big misnomers in the history of advertisement. Egg matzahs have absolutely nothing to do with eggs. Egg matzahs really should be called apple juice matzahs, but it just doesn't sound good, apple juice matzahs. So somebody came up with a great idea of calling it egg matzahs. So if we all know, or at least we should know, most of us should know, that we don't really eat egg matzahs on Pesach. Forget about the Seder, the whole week of Chol HaMoed, Pesach we don't eat it. So what are we doing talking about it, about eating it at the Seder? So the answer is that we have a practice, I mean primarily Ashkenazi communities have a practice of not eating what we call again matzah shiro, or colloquially egg matzahs, during the holy Pesach for a variety of reasons. Even though they're clearly technically not chametz, that's in fact why many Sfaradim do eat egg matzahs on Pesach, and even Ashkenazim do permit, under certain limited circumstances, people who are not well or older or children to eat egg matzahs, we try to avoid eating egg matzah for a variety of reasons because of a cheshash of chametz, that we're afraid that perhaps the flour and the apple juice that was mixed together may have become chametz, perhaps even faster than flour and water mixed together. So forget for a variety of technical reasons, the Ashkenazi practice is to refrain from egg matzah the whole week of Pesach. However, it's not me'ikar hadin. It's not absolutely required by the halacha. So therefore, in theory, a person would think, well, when it comes to Pesach night, a person who is older, a person who does eat egg matzah during the week, would think, well, I could use it for the Seder also. So kamash v'landa for the Seder, it's clearly out of the question, because it's not considered to be lechem oni. So that's a din min ha-Torah. The fact that we don't eat it all week, it's just a minig, it's a chumrah, it's a chumrah that should be followed. The fact that we don't fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah with it, that's really a din min ha-Torah, because it's not considered to be lechem oni. You're probably already, everyone here is from the generation where you see in the boxes of egg matzah, so it usually says pretty clearly that egg matzah should only be eaten by those who are old or sick or things of that nature. So when I grew up, so it didn't say that so clearly on the boxes. You used to have a big, I won't mention Ashkacha by name, a big Ashkacha, kosher of Pesach, kosher of Passover, in big bold letters. And then usually, like if you put on your magnifying glasses, you would find in a little corner, in Yiddish always, which of course nobody knew how to read, it would say in Yiddish that Ayin Kitta Shulchan Aruch Simin such and such, Lagabi Achilas Matzah Shirba Pesach, which if anybody ever bothered to take the initiative and actually look it up, it would say that it's also Lechol these matzahs on Pesach. But obviously for advertisement trees, they didn't want to write that. So now the generation's got a little bit better. Now at least they tell you, at least in English, and they tell you somewhere a little bit more explicitly, that you really shouldn't be eating it. But again, this is only the Torah's minute. The Torah, to say this, and this is a real din in HaTorah, that one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah with egg matzah. There is a technical machlokis harishonim. When we speak about matzah ashira, we speak about the quote-unquote egg matzah, or meperos, as not being acceptable for achilas matzah. The Rambam happens to have a very unique sheet about this. The Rambam maintains that this is not true about all types of fruit juice. This is only true with very specific types of fruit juice. According to the Rambam, if you make grape juice matzah, or if you make honey matzah, or milk matzah, or oil matzah, something like that, that's called matzah shira. But if you make other types of fruit juice, like apple juice, for example, so according to the Rambam, that would be perfectly acceptable. That's not called matzah shira. So therefore, those who really follow the Rambam, in theory, can eat at the Seder, mamish egg matzah. Even though it says in big bold letters, don't eat this for the Seder, according to the Rambam, our egg matzah, if it's apple juice matzah, would be acceptable. Obviously, nobody should follow this selamaisa, but it's a little bit of a limud zchus. There are some members of Klal Yisrael who don't know that much about Ochos Pesach. They didn't order their CDs for $20,000. Great, you're sorry, right. You do that so you can eat it in Ochos Pesach. It's part of the whole cheshbon. Yeah, but at least in America, they have grape juice matzahs in America also. Remember when they first started to make the grape juice matzah, so I saw in the big box that says grape juice matzah, so I was thinking to myself, grape juice matzah, it probably looks ridiculous, it probably looks purple. But then I realized, they use the green grapes, the white grapes, they don't make purple grapes. So, according to the Rambam, in theory, if a person would eat what we call the apple juice matzahs, in theory they would be yotzei. So I guess a little bit of a limud zchus, and those people don't quite know better. So at least according to some shittas, they're still fulfilling the mitzvah of achilas matzah. But again, of course, for us, so we're not going to eat egg matzah, we're not going to eat matzah shiur the whole week, for sure. And tavachoma, we're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah with it. There is another requirement that the Torah tells us concerning matzah, ushmartem es matzos. So we have to guard the matzos. The term, of course, matzah shmura. So there is a machlokas in the Gemara, machlokas in the Shalom, the Halacha. At what point do the matzahs have to be shmura? Do they have to be shmura, what you call mishas tzira, from the earliest possible time where they could potentially become chametz, from the time of harvesting? If they weren't guarded when they're still connected to the ground, that's of course not a problem. All grain gets wet when it rains on it. So that doesn't make it into chametz. It's only susceptible to becoming chametz after it's detached from the ground. So according to some opinions, at the time of Katsira, at the moment of harvesting, one is required to do Shmira. And according to other opinions, one is only required to do Shmira at a much later point, at the time of Lisha, the time when you actually need it, the actual time when you mix the flour and water together, then and only then does the mitzvah of Shmura kick in. Our practice is, at least for the Seder, so we paskin matzah shmur mishas katsira. We try to paskin at least matzah shmur mishas katsira. That's what you see in the big bold letters and all the big hand boxes of matzahs. The ones that say, as the old joke goes, the lechemoni, the real reason why it's called lechemoni is not to teach me why that matzah shir is no good, but the real reason why it's called lechemoni is because you buy a few of those boxes, you know where you become. So, kopanim shmur matzah, the halacha requires, at least the chetchila, that it has to be mishas katsira. That's, of course, what our practice is. All of the matzahs that are out there on the market are at least mishas lisha. Clearly, there's somebody watching the mishas lisha. So therefore, going to some rishonim, going to any rishonim, one would still fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So again, for those individuals who are not quite aware of the halacha, who are not machpid to go out and buy matzah shmur mishas katsira, so at least b'diavad, they're relying on those rishonim who maintain, whether they know it or they don't know it, but the mice, that's what they're relying on. They're fulfilling the mitzvah at least according to some. Remember, I was standing in Pathmark in Muncie. Anybody from Muncie? Oh, so it's in Muncie. Okay, Pathmark. You've been there 59. Good. Okay, atrium. So we go shopping there fairly often. Usually, whenever we have a wedding in the atrium, so that's where my wife takes me after the chuppah before the dinner. So that's usually what we do. So it must have been right before our Pesach last year. So we were standing in the Pesach Hall, picking up a few odds and ends, and there was a couple who were standing there who clearly were, I guess the Kohen Rabbi Yehuda, not yet, fully Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and they were standing there and trying to analyze each of the boxes and matzahs. So like anyone who's been there knows, you can have your array of different hand and machine and every chumer and every possible permutation of matzahs, and they were getting a little bit confused. They would pick up this box and that box, the other box. And some of the boxes said 18-minute matzahs, and some of them didn't say 18-minute matzahs, and some of them said al-Bedis Yad, and some said, an al-Bedis Yad, and some said Some said this chumra, that chumra, the other chumra. And they just wanted to buy a box of striped matzahs. They didn't want to all the stuff. So he picks up one of the boxes of matzahs and it said 18-minute matzahs. And it was $5 more expensive than the matzah. It didn't say 18-minute matzahs. So the guy said, what do you mean 18-minute matzahs? Everybody knows all matzahs have to be baked within 18 minutes. Not bad. 18-minute matzah doesn't mean that. 18-minute matzah means if they stop the machines and they make a clean run less than every 18 minutes, so there shouldn't be any chashash kiuzeh, even if a mashu of chametz in there. So they went and they bought a regular box of stripes, cheap to $1.50 box of matzah. That's what they're going to use at the Seder. So you shouldn't have such chalish sedas if you see people doing that. That according to Me'ikra, then they yotze the mitzvah anyway, even though it's not necessarily Shmuel Mishas Katsira, according to Rav Rishonim. Shmuel Mishas Lisha is also acceptable. For those people who don't know, not buying the real Shmuel Matzah, so probably giving yotze the mitzvah Echilas Matzah anyway. But again, for those who know the halacha, so the chetchila, we try to follow the practice of buying dafka Shmuel Mishas Katsira. So at least we have a little bit of idea of what matzah is. We know it has to be from chameshes minidazon. We know it has to be specifically from water. We know it has to be from the shmura. But a very basic question, and probably a question on most people's minds, is okay. Now that we know what matzah is, now the next question is, well, how much of this matzah are we supposed to eat? So the answer to this question really is given on different levels. We'll talk about theoretically what the theoretical halacha is. Now we'll try as best as we can to put it down a little bit practically lemaisa. So one thing is very clear, that the shiur of achilas matzah is kezayis. That's the Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Pesachim. Achilas kezayis. How do we know that it has to be a kezayis? Kezayis being the size of an olive. How do we know that it has to be a kezayis? So this is halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. This is true when it comes to all the dinim of achila in the Torah, just about all of them. Whenever the Torah speaks about achila, so achila is always defined in terms of a kezayis. So one is required to eat a kezayis nida araisa in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Then the Gemara tells us, what is the halacha if a person eats a kezayis, but the eating is schlepped out, is spread out over a significant amount of time? So he eats a quarter of a kezayis now, and then an hour later another quarter of kezayis, and an hour later a little more, now a little more. So it turns out that throughout the duration of Pesach night, he ate a kezayis, but he didn't eat it in one shot. Is that considered to be achilas kezayis or not? So the Gemara here invokes another halacha l'Moshe Mesinai and tells us that as long as the eating was completed within the shear of what's called kidei achilas pras, which we'll see in a moment, we'll come to an actual conclusion, but that will come to an approximate conclusion what that means. If one eats a kezayis and matzah within the shear of kidei achilas pras, so then and only then one fulfills the mitzvah min da'arayis of achilas matzah. If one eats a little bit now, and then a little bit of now for now, a little bit now for now, a little now for now, even though technically speaking a whole kezayis is gone down the tube, but since it wasn't the chesed, it was pras, so min ha-Torah, one does not fulfill the mitzvah. So of course, it behooves us to define a little bit what exactly constitutes a kezayis and what exactly constitutes kedei achilas pras. Because if we want to fulfill the mitzvah properly, we really have to be aware of what both of those terms are ma'isamim. So needless to say, both of those terms are wrought with much confusion as to the ma'isa, what really does that mean? Just how much is a kezayis? So just a little bit as a reference point in terms of the kezayis. I don't want to go to, I don't know if they serve olives here for breakfast, but we go take a look. Go take a look at an olive. Looks about this big. So that's approximately what a kezayis is supposed to be. Now, there is a question, there is a big machlokas in the poskim, whether the shiurim of just taking a look at an olive today and saying, it's probably been the same for the last 3,500 years. Because the Gemara does give the ratio of olives to eggs. So if we take a look at an egg and you see, an olive, according to some opinions, is a third of an egg, or according to other opinions, is a half an egg. So you take a look at an egg, take a standard egg, you go to the store, you want to buy the biggest egg, you go buy a super duper jumbo extra large egg, and you take a look at it and you say, about half of this, so then others don't say, achilas kezayis. So that's the approach that many poskim took. And others were of the opinion that perhaps the eggs that we have today may be a little bit smaller than the eggs that existed b'nei Chazal. This was a famous opinion of the Nadi Behuda, who threw this into question. We're going to leave beyond the scope right now to talk about what exactly led him to this somewhat interesting conclusion. But Lamaisa, this was the opinion of the Nadi Behuda. There were a group of folks who went along with this. That basically what it means is that all the shiurim that we have today are half of what they really were, which means you would have to double them in order to fulfill the correct mitzvah. So according to the understanding of the Nevi Yehuda, you would have to theoretically eat, in effect, what we would call two kezayisim, rather than one kezayis, in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So this was a very big question, whether we really accept this opinion, la halacha. There are many posts in the Mishnah Berurah who are machmir for this opinion, concerning Achilles Matzah. After all, Achilles Matzah is a mitzvah in HaTorah. So therefore, we try to take the larger shear. We try to be machmer, but chachil at least, we try to be machmer to insist on eating a kezayis, a matzah, the larger shear of a kezayis. Now, the question is, practically speaking, what does that boil down to in terms of a matzah, in terms of your average standard hand matzah? So how much does that come out to? So here there is a great discrepancy of opinions. There are opinions who will put it as low as about a fifth of a hand matzah. There are opinions that will put it as high as a half of a hand matzah. And you'll have it anywhere in between. So what I tell people is as follows. It depends really who's asking the question. If the person who's asking the question is a young, strong Ben Torah, who's got a good strong stomach, so why do you have to be tzamtzem? I'm only going to eat a fifth of a 21.5% of a matzah. It's one mitzvah achilas matzah the entire year midaraisa. They have a shame. They're to show one mitzvah midaraisa achilas matzah once a year. So guys who go to doggies and aren't tzamtzem to eat exactly that amount. So guys, Baruch Hashem, have good appetites. You should eat a kezayis, kedas, fadin with aloe hidurim. That's for the people who are able to, the people who are healthy. They shouldn't sit around and measure. When I eat matzah, I don't sit at the table with a card, like they say from MTJ, to measure 3.7 inches times this, times that. Just take a good shpacha piece of matzah. When they left Mitzrayim, they also didn't walk around with a card. There was probably some yeshiva in Mitzrayim who was walking around sending out all the cards for donations because everyone was leaving. So you just take a good geshmak, a piece of matzah, and it's half a head matzah, more than half a head, whatever it's kadasach of it, and that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilles matzah. However, not everybody's so able to do that physically, so a person who's not so healthy, a person who really has difficulty, so then you have to try to figure out what the ikra din is, so then you have to speak to a rav and try to get, you know, a smaller shiur. Well, should be to a third or a quarter or even less than that in terms of a hand matzah. But l'chadchila for most of us, so I think the correct way to go is to eat kiyat ha-melech, to have a nice geshmak piece of matzah. There is an added benefit of eating a nice large piece of matzah, not counting each crumb. According to many opinions, which appears to be the Shittas HaRambam as well, the mitzvah achilas matzah Pesach night is not just to eat a kezayis. That's the minimum. If you eat a kezayis, then Baruch Hashem yoytzeh. But the more you eat, the greater kiyum it is. The more matzah that you eat, that's considered to be an extension of the mitzvah achilas matzah min haTorah. So the person is mitzamta, the person is cheap and stingy with the matzah, he only eats bedocha, kizayis, yotzei. Rabbi Yoni, and there wasn't a mitzvah lechatchila. The person eats a little bit more, so then the more one eats, and it's not 50, 20 matzahs on basic night, but the more one eats, within reasons, that's considered to be an extension of the mitzvah. So therefore, it's a good idea not to cut corners on the mitzvah lechilas matzah for those individuals who are healthy who are able to do so. When we speak about eating the kedayis, so we mentioned that it has to be the chedayis pras. So we have to know, well, how long is that? How long do we have to eat this matzah? So here also, there were different opinions in the post. Given the span of time was anywhere from the lower end of chedayis pras being 2 minutes, to those who put it as high as closer to 9 minutes. So the good news in this machlokas is that clearly, the larger the shear of kedayis, the larger number that you're using for your calculation of the shear of kedayis, that is going to impact directly on the shear of kedei achilas pras. It's also going to get larger. Why is that? Because the shear of kedei achilas pras is a ratio. There's a ratio between the size of a kezayis and the size of kedei achilas pras. Because kedei achilas pras is the amount of time that it takes a person to eat 3 or 4 eggs worth. Different opinions in the Rishonim, Machlokes in the Gemara. 3 or 4 eggs worth of flour. 3 or 4 egg worth of bread. So eggs are, as we said before, there's a ratio between the size of eggs and the size of olives. So therefore, if you have a larger shear, if you think that a kezayis means 15 matzahs, then your shear of kedechilas pras is going to be 45 minutes. If you think that a kezayis means a tenth of a hand matzah, then your shear is going to be 45 seconds. So no matter how big you get, in terms of the larger your shear of kezayis goes, so by logical, it must be, by definition, that your span of time in kedechilas pras is going to get longer as well. So many people are not aware of this. Many people, okay, you know, people want to fulfill the mitzvah of kedas, but they don't want the hidurim and all the chumras. So what do? So they take the biggest share of kezayis and the smallest share of kedechilas pras, and they say, well, we got to eat getting 6 matzahs within the share of 22.5 seconds. So we're not going to comment on what happens to some of them. So the good ones end up choking. The bad ones we don't want to talk about. So This is clearly shalakidin. This clearly makes absolutely no sense. That if you're working with a larger shear, that's fine. You want to be machmir the shear tzayis, that's okay. But then by definition, you're allowed to have a larger shear of kedeshus pras. What should the guidelines be when a person is trying to make sure that they eat the kedeshus amount within the right time? So again, although I know well aware of the fact there are people who sit there with a stopwatch and timing themselves to make sure that they're getting the entire matzah in within kedeshus pras, it would appear to me that Moshe Rabbeinu did not do that. We don't find any record of Moshe Rabbeinu doing that. So I think sat with the sundial there. It was dark in there. I couldn't see. We didn't know what the time was. So kechatzes alayla. So clearly the halacha is the way it's been done for deris. So nobody's required to sit with a stopwatch to check when you're eating if there was matzah. Just as a word of comfort in this halacha, you don't really have to be too concerned that you're not getting a kedeshus pras. I'll tell you why. Kedeshus pras is the sheer of eating at a normal pace, eating 3 or 4 eggs. Now remember we said that a kezayis is either half or a third of an egg. So that means if you eat matzah at a normal, straight pace, without drink, without schmoozing, which we'll talk a little bit later why you shouldn't be schmoozing anyway then, the person just eats relaxed in a normal position, eating his matzah, so then by definition, not only will he eat it b'kedeshus pras, he'll eat it a tenth of the time of kedeshus pras, because the shear of kedeshus pras is the normal time it takes to eat 10 times more than the amount of a kezayis, 3 or 4 eggs worth, 6 times more, 8 times more than a kezayis itself. So therefore, it goes without saying, a person takes a nice, normal piece of matzah, of a mitzvah chilas matzah, and he sits and he eats it relaxed, without looking at the clock, or without counting every crumb, so he'll be yaitz in the mitzvah kedas v'chadin, and there's no reason to get to be concerned. There was an opinion that appears in some of the Rishonim, that maintains a very, very mechudish tikka thing about the mitzvah of chilas matzah. And although it's true that one can fulfill the mitzvah of kezayis lechtei chilas pras, that's an explicit gemara, there was one opinion in the Rishon that maintained that only to be evid. But lechatchila, how is one supposed to eat the kezayis and matzah? Literally bevas achas, or bevuya achas, supposed to swallow in one go. Supposed to take a kezayis and then chew it up, and then loop one shot down. There is such an opinion that appears in the Trumas Hadeshim. So our custom is not to follow this opinion for a variety of reasons. And one reason is we're not even sure that it was ever correct in the first place. We're not even sure that anybody really said this. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik had a whole different mahalach. We're going to leave out the details of the sugya right now. But he understood that there never really was such a sheet, that nobody ever said such a thing, that you have to eat the kezayis and matzah, bevas achas, even lechatchila. That was one objection. And then even Li Yitzui, even if the Trumas Hadeshim really said it, that did say it, even if the other Rishonim did say it, with some question whether they did it or not, practically speaking, it's very, very difficult to do, and therefore it's not recommended. Chalila could really be sakana. So therefore, under those circumstances, would I recommend anybody following this chumrah of trying to swallow the kezayis matzah of the vasachas, one should follow the ikar adin that one does for the mitzvah. Chassam Sofer, in two different places, writes two different things about this chumrah. In one place he writes it's not such a bad chumrah. In another place he writes that he has a question whether someone who follows this chumrah is really yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah altogether, because there's halacha of achilas shelo kederech achila. If a person eats something in an abnormal manner, so it's not considered to be achila in other areas of halacha. So maybe gulping down a whole round hand matzah, maybe that's considered to be like shelo kederech achila. So maybe it wouldn't even be yotzei. Perhaps. So I don't think anyone would really go that far with Maisa. But for all the dust settles, so I wouldn't recommend this chumrah. I think a person tries to eat a normal piece of matzah, a normal shear, a normal amount of matzah, and he's going to get asked to do it without any big booking whatsoever. When exactly does the mitzvah of achilas matzah take place? So we all know, of course, the Torah says the erev of matzos. So on the night of Pesach, that is of course the zman for the mitzvah of achilas matzah. However, when we speak about the night of Pesach, so we have to really be careful to define what exactly constitutes the beginning of the night of Pesach and what constitutes the end of the night of Pesach. So the beginning of the night of Pesach, we usually know that the day ends at least the suffix at shkia once the sun sets. That's considered to be at least a suffix at the end of the day. And then there's a short period of time called Benashmashos until the stars come out, and which is a suffix yom, suffix laila. And then there's a kichavim, that's considered to be laila mamar. So we know this from Shabbos, from Yom Kippur, from all areas of halacha, that we treat this interim period as Benashmashos being a suffix. So l'chora, when it comes to the mitzvah achilas matzah, so one should insist that matzah is a mitzvah in Torah, so you have to wait until tzeis kichavim in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So Tosfos at the end of the Sefer Pesachim raises the following interesting question. We know there's a principle in halacha called Tosefes Shabbos v'Tosefes Yom Tov. that the halacha tells us that you're permitted and even required to begin Shabbos a little bit early. You're required to begin Yom Kippur a little bit early. So let's say on Friday afternoon, so we're not supposed to be doing halacha down to the buzzer. Down, let's say, Shkia is 8:03. So we're not supposed to be doing halacha at 8:02 and 59 seconds. For two reasons. First of all, because your clock may be off, and the calendars may be off, so that's a good reason not to be doing malacha down to the last second. But there's another reason also, even if you have the exact time, mamish kechut asara, you know exactly that Shabbos doesn't start, the sun is not, you're standing there and watching the sun go down, still, malacha is a mitzvah to sefer Shabbos, that you're supposed to refrain from malacha a couple of minutes before. As I look at Rabbi Willing and Rabbi Marcus, so I can't forget the Rabbi Landau, I can't forget the good old days of Marsha Kollel. Some of you may have been there in Marsha Kollel, some of you may be attending at some point Marsha Kollel. So I remember we were very, very machbid on the mitzvah of the Sefer Shabbos in Marsha Kollel as the trusted counselor for many, many years. So one of my jobs was to look out the window of the Beis Medrash. Those who've been there can identify with this. Those who haven't been there, just close your eyes and imagine. Extending, I would look out the window of the Beis Medrash, right around the Lechadovi time, which was usually about 5 minutes before Shkia. And my job was, I won't even say if the lights were on the bunk, but when I saw the lights were still on the bunk, was to run down and to immediately close the lights, because the people who were still coming out of the shower somehow had never heard of the mitzvah of Sefer Shabbos, so shouldn't be nichshol on this mitzvah of, number one, of Chil Shabbos Mamish, and number two, of the Sefer Shabbos. Anyway, so that's the din. The halacha is, I just reminisce a little bit, so it'll be my hope. That the mitzvah of Sefer Shabbos requires of us to refrain from halacha a little bit before Shabbos starts. So Tosfos raises the question, the enemy said, as talking, forgetting about malacha for a minute, what if a person is makabel Shabbos early, and now they want to eat Siddur Shabbos, mida od yom, still light outside, so can they do that or not? So on the one hand, they were makabel Shabbos, so technically, the Shabbos already, the now they do malacha now, on the other hand, the sun is still shining, it's basically Friday afternoon. Haraya, your next door neighbor, who's down here for later minyan, he just got out of his car now. So how could I sit down and eat my Siddur Shabbos when it's not technically Shabbos yet, at least in terms of the sun's position in the sky? So this is a big machlokas that we've shown him. Does Tosefta Shabbos permit me to literally start Shabbos, l'chol dine Shabbos, that I can mamish fulfill the mitzvah of the Shabbos now also? But does Tosefta Shabbos just say that I can't do malacha? I have to turn off the lights, I have to stop, get out of my car a few minutes before the sun sets, but in terms of the mitzvah sayom, so I can't really fulfill yet. So this is a question in the Rishonim. This is a real shah, loch lemaisa. Many people come from communities where this is the seventh time they start Shabbos early. So the famous colloquial 7 o'clock minyan, whether that's the right part of the minyan now is another time, another discussion up for now, but the famous early Shabbos. Let's say, for argument's sake, the middle of July, so Shkia is 8:30, person down with an early minyan. Now he comes home, he starts his meal at 7:30. By the time the sun sets, he's already in bed. He's finished dessert already. He's out for the night. So what's that halacha? Did he fulfill the mitzvahs of the Shabbos or not? So on the one hand, he was makabel Shabbos early. On the other hand, it's not really Shabbos yet. So that's in fact two days in Tosfos. The Ikra didn't paskin that it's okay. There are some more machmir. There are some poskim. Mishnah Berurah quotes such a chumra that since not everybody agrees to this, lechatchila, what a person should do is as follows: a person is makabel Shabbos early in the summertime, or any time of the year for that matter, but in the wintertime most people aren't makabel Shabbos at 2:30. So the person is makabel Shabbos in the only time is in a certain case, stays out of Friday. All of a sudden, everyone comes very full, we're running makabel Shabbos early. But it's a question whether it works altogether. Not for that. So comes a regular Friday night in the summertime, person makabel Shabbos early. Mishnah Berurah says, if no problem, go from shul, eat your Siddur Shabbos. When it comes time to benching, right before benching, so they're trying to sing another zemer, so they schlep it out for Tes Kechavim. So 9 o'clock or so, the stars are out, so you should chop around, you should grab another piece of challah. Abakazai is a challah, right? The Iker, then that's really what you need for Siddur Shabbos. It's the chili shabbos, salad, and soup, and whatever. But the Iker, then all you need is really kazayis of challah. So therefore, for dessert, you should chop a kezayis of challah. So therefore, even according to the opinions that you think you're not yotzei the Siddur Shabbos, the mantas of a Shabbos, you would be yotzei under these circumstances. So I always point out that anyone who wants to follow the schumer, that's perfectly okay. Just if you happen to be a guest at somebody else's house, or for that matter, in your own house, you should just inform the person that the reason why you're eating that extra piece of challah right before benching is because Rabbi can't give you a shiur about it, and the Rabbi to do it, and somehow Allah agrees it. Why? Because a woman will get very insulted. And here she served you a 40-course meal, and the guy's sitting and eating a guy sitting and eating a last piece of challah, so you have to be careful. Before you follow your chumra, so you have to make sure, just to be a little bit sensitive. The Spear Shabbos and the hotel in the Renaissance, so they had quite a meal, kiyadha. No, it wasn't the Shabbos. The Purim Siddur. I can't remember which. Well, the New Year's eating for the last week. The Purim Siddur. So it wasn't the Renaissance, back in New Jersey. So it was also mamish kiyadha melech, and then they served dessert. So there was some kind of a pickbook a little bit on what the bracha was, whether you have to make a bracha shachal, is it not? Shai froze an ice cream, and machlikas, and a whole complicated longness, whether you have to make a bracha at the end of the meal. So on the one hand, you know, here I was like dying of hunger, had it eaten in the last 30 seconds. So I really felt like I wanted to have that list, totally with shmal, the shay mitzvahs, and the sporum, you know, kadasa kadin. On the other hand, there's a shalom and something brachas. So what do you do? So I asked, we were eating at somebody else's house, so I asked them, can I just get a little candy? Not that it's so hard to find candies around the house in Purim. So I said, can I just bring me a little candy, a little something? So the person looked at me like, was out of my mind. So the woman said to me, she said, Shabowski, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad that we got so much to eat and you still want a little bit of candy. She was making fun of me a little bit. So I said, no, the food was gabalic. It's a brachas, it's a lumbus, it's something. So you don't even want to hear the reason why I'm going to have this candy. Said, but as long as it's halachic reasons, it's not for hunger reasons. So you have to be careful. You shouldn't insult people. Well, nice, if you're going to have your piece of challah for dessert on Friday night, so according to some posts, it would be necessary. So comes Tosis and says, the enemy has to tell him, that this whole discussion about can you fulfill the mitzvah of achilas suda Shabbos, maybe od yom, before Shabbos technically starts, this is not true for the Seder. For the Seder, everybody agrees that you have to eat the matzah balayla mamish. This is the pasuk be'erev tefil matzah. It's also the pasuk balayla zeh. The Torah speaks about layla, erev. It has to be mamish at night. So we passed it on a lot like this Tosfos. But under no circumstances can a person start the Seder, at least get the achilas matzah part of the Seder, until Tzeis Kichavim. Our practice is that we don't start the entire Seder. We don't even start Kiddush before Tzeis Kichavim for a variety of reasons. But Tosfos wasn't talking about that. Tosfos was talking about eating matzah by the Seder. Tosfos says, on Pesach night, so literally, my Nishtan Allah, Zemek, and Leilas, every other Friday night, every other Yom night, you can start early, it's not a problem. But on Pesach night, you can't start early because of the Erev Techla matzah. So it's interesting that if you look at this Tosfos, so Tosfos is clearly making a distinction between Pesach and all the other Yom Tov. And Tosfos says, every other Yom Tov, you want to start early, you want to daven early, you want to eat early, go to sleep early. There's a day you can do whatever you want. Pesach is the only one that's different. So although that's what it says in Tosfos, Lemaisa, there are a variety of reasons why we don't do that by the other Yom Tov either, by most of the other Yom Tov. And Rosh Hashanah, there are some who have a custom not to start Rosh Hashanah early, because we're not running to the Yom HaDin. It's bad enough, the Yom HaDin, when it comes, you don't have to be machdin. Person's called, person has to go into court to find a parking ticket. So you don't run a day before him. You come, you're supposed to come, that's it. So a person's not going to go run to be his reason to come to court early. So we don't want to start Rosh Hashanah early. When it comes to the first night of Sukkah, so we have a custom also not starting early, because many of the dinim of Sukkahs are compared to Pesach. So just as Pesach we don't start early, we don't start Sukkahs early. Then there's a custom in Shmini Atzeres not to start Shmini Atzeres early, because there's a whole shalom about eating in the Sukkah, because we eat in the Sukkah, and then with the bracha, and we do make a bracha, that minigus, so we push off the starting of Shmini Atzeres until 9 eat also. Then when it comes to Pesach, of course, you're not allowed to start early because of the Erev Techla Matzahs. Then when it comes to Shavuos, we have a minig not to start early because of Tmimos, because you want the Svira to be complete. So at the end of the day, there are very, very few times when we can start a Yom Tov early. There's only one left, Shvi'ish Pesach. The Gval de Geshka, Shvi'ish Pesach, you can start early if you want, but very good. But all the other Yom Tov and the Maisa, this is very bad news for the Rabbanim, I'll tell you why. Because the Rabbanim have to stall, because what that means is that you're normally on a Friday night. So I speak for 2 minutes before Baruch, just just to be right a little bit. But on a Yom Tov night, so you gotta keep on going, you gotta keep on rolling until it's time to daven, because otherwise you're gonna run into a problem of starting to Seder early. So the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the rabbi only had a stall for one time, Pesach night, but now the time I'm in, we're hugging her over, so we end up stalling every time, just about every Yom Tov we stall, in order for each variety of different halachic and hugging reasons. So Kopanim, when it comes to Pesach night, clearly that's the halacha, that one does not start to Seder early. Sometimes you have a very, very difficult situation where you have to start the Seder early. I remember last year, so one of my Talmidim had a big problem, and he was going home for Pesach, his family wasn't really a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, and they were going to start the Seder early. They're having a whole family of dinner, they're going to start the Seder early. So let's say, for argument's sake, a shkia was 8 o'clock or something, so they were going to start the Seder at 6:30. So, Kurdish. Some of you are young. It's a little day. What can you do? So I told him, Rechila's matzah. What can you do? You can't eat matzah until Achet Techshok. That's what we pass you. So it's a question about the Dalakosas, maybe the Rabbanon, maybe Shasal Chat, possible Kulas. So each case has to be analyzed on a case-to-case basis. The more difficult problem in that particular case was last year was Erev Pesach, Chalas B'Shabbos. So the Rambam started to say that maybe Yom Yom was on Shabbos. So that was even more problematic. You can't even have to set this Yom Yom perhaps on Shabbos. So it was a big, big mess. But for regular, normal families, so you should encourage everybody that you should not begin to say, you shouldn't even start the first of the Kosas, even the Kosas of Kiddush, until after Pesach Yechaver. When is the latest time to eat the matzah? So here we have a big machlokas hatanoim. When is the sof zman of achilas matzah? The machlokas hatanoim really doesn't start in ilchas matzah. It really starts in ilchas karban pesach. Everybody agrees that one is supposed to eat the karban pesach before chatzos, before halfway through the night. But there was a machlokas hatanoim. Why is that so? So according to Rabbi Elozim and Azariah, the Tanner of Elozim and Azariah, that's a din min haTorah. We learn now from Sukkim and Old Gemara Masechet Brachos and Pesachim. It shows you the sources for this. Rabbi Elozim and Azariah held that you have to eat the matzah before. You have to eat the Karban Pesach before Chatzos min haTorah. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that's not true. According to Rabbi Akiva, min haTorah, you can eat Pesach the entire night out of Bokir. Midrabanan, you should eat it before Chatzos. Because if you let people eat the Pesach the whole night, they may end up eating it the next morning as well. So which would be an issa d'araisa of eating nos, of eating leftover karbanos. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim made a siyav, they made a gedder fence, and told us not to eat karban Pesach past chatzos. So machlok is at the roi, in the Beis HaMikdash, bezman she Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. Why is this relevant for us? So the Gemara tells us, in the end of Masechet Pesachim, that the same way that there was a machlok is at the roi, about when is the sov zman achilas karban pesach, there was also a machlokas about when is the sov zman achilas matzah. That according to Rabbi Elozim ben Azariah, who says that pesach ends at chatzos at kan velo yoser midda araisa, so hu adinami, similarly matzah ends at that point also. You can't eat matzah pesach chatzos. That's it. Midda araisa. That's the sov zman of achilas matzah. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that's not true. According to Rabbi Akiva, min haTorah, the sof zman of achilas Pesach is the morning. So mid the araisa, thank you so much. Mid the araisa, that's the same din for matzah as well. And mid the rabbanon, they didn't make any gezerah by matzah. They only made a gezerah with the rabbanon by Pesach for technical reasons, not by matzah. So when all the dust settles, halacha l'maisa, can you eat matzah after chatzos? Must you fulfill the erev of matzah before halfway through the night or not? According to Rabbi Elozah ben Azariah mid the araisa, yes. If you eat matzah after chatzos, it's nothing. It's zero. It's like eating matzah at Chanukah. According to Rabbi Elozah ben Azariah, it's no mitzvah whatsoever. And according to Rabbi Akiva, one would be perfectly acceptable to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah anytime during the night. Several years ago, when I used to teach in one class in Stern, so I guess somehow this came up in terms of Ilchus Pesach. So I taught the girls about the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elozah ben Azariah about when the souls of achilas matzah and achilas pesach is fine. So apparently it was a question on the final. The question was something about, you know, what is the machlokas about when is the last time you can eat matzah, when is the last time you can eat karban pesach? So one of the girls didn't do too much, but she responded, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Elozah ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva Eger. So she got a little bit confused. Rabbi Akiva Eger was in Achor, he lived 150 years ago. Rabbi Akiva was a panel of 2,000 years ago. Small problem. But I got the basic point. But the basic point was that there is a machlokas hatanoim as to when is the sof zman of achilas matzah. So this is very, very relevant for us l'maisa. How do we pass it? Roch l'maisa. So we follow Rabbi Akiva the Mekil? Do we follow Rabbi Elozah ben Azariah the Machmir? So the Rishonim had a machlokas had a pass. It's unclear from the Gemara what the conclusion of l'halacha is. So therefore, we assume l'halacha it's a sveika divina. We're not really sure. So therefore, we try to be Machmir on all fronts. Namely, we insist, obviously, l'chatchila to eat the matzah before chatzos. However, if for whatever reason a person goofed and mamish missed chatzos, so then he should eat the matzah any time during the night. He shouldn't take the attitude of Rabbi Elozah ben Azariah, well, it's all over and come back next year. He should eat the matzah, but without a bracha. Cannot make a shirki dishonim mitzvah yitzvah l'achilas matzah, because that would be a chashash, a safek bracha levatola. So we try l'chatchila to eat it before chatzos. If b'di'evid you didn't eat it before chatzos, then you would eat it after chatzos or be without a bracha. When we speak about eating the matzah before chatzos, what do we mean when we say the words the matzah? What exactly is the matzah? So we know that we eat matzah several times during the course of this Eder. So the first kezayis that we eat at the time of Motzi Matzah, that we eat korech, and we'll eat that a little bit later. And then at the end of the Seder, we eat afikomen, the second kezayis. So which is the real mitzvah of achilas matzah? Which one does a person really fulfill the erev tochel matzah with? So this is the machlokes harishonim. So our practice is that we try to assume that both the matzah of Motzi Matzah, as well as the matzah of the erev tochel matzos, really should both be, plus the matzah of afikomen, should both be eaten at the proper halachic time. Namely, both of them should be eaten before chatzos. So therefore, really, lechatchila, person is supposed to plan that he gets to the afikomen before chatzos. This is clearly the halacha. For whatever reason, the person didn't eat the afikomen by chatzos. So then again, but the yevet, he would eat it after chatzos. There's no bracha made on the afikomen, so there's no bracha really to talk about. But in terms of the proper protocol, the proper practice is one should try to be careful to eat the afikomen before chatzos. There is a machlokes harishonim. What about the duration of the Seder? What else has to be finished before chatzos? So there are many rishonim who say that all the mitzvahs alayla really have to be finished before chatzos, according to the laws of Isaiah. So the last of the mitzvahs alayla that we do is the mitzvah of Hallel, the completion of Hallel, and the shtiyas kol shaviyah, the drinking of the fourth cup at the end of Hallel. So according to the many rishonim, one should really try to finish there up until that point by chatzos, according to the laws of Isaiah. So one is really trying to set a schedule. So the schedule should try to be set in such a way that one finishes the entire Hallel and drinks the fourth cup before chatzos. So when one wants to sing chagadja, nechem yodei, afterwards you can do that whenever you want. But in terms of the halachic part of the Seder, it should really be done by chatzos. There are other Rishonim who say we don't have to be that careful about this, that perhaps since the saying of Hallel and the drinking of Bal Kosos, perhaps there's only Midrabanon, so maybe we could be a little bit more lenient. So even if it schleps past chatzos, we don't have to be that concerned about it. So yesh v'yesh, there are different opinions about this. But l'chatchila, the poskim say that one should try to be machmir if possible on this as well. Sometimes it's not possible, especially when you're bachrim, so you're not usually in control of the schedule of the Seder. So try your best. But when you're met Hashem and get married and you run your own sedarim, so you should try to plan the Seder as such that I'm not saying to run through Magid. Magid is mitzvah, marvel, sapphic, and time raising meshubach. Chavadi should have a nice proper Magid. On the other hand, all the Narish character comes up in the process of the Seder, so you can do away with it. The meal doesn't have to be for 3 hours. You don't have to schmooze about every bit of politics, at the Seder meal. Talk about that tomorrow at lunch. But the Seder meal itself should go with enough speed that it should be able to get the mitzvah halayla in at the proper time. We mentioned that there's a third eating of matzah at the Seder, and that's korech. What is that all about? Why do we eat korech? So this is based on a Gemara that appears in Maseches Pesachim, in Maseches Pesachim, in Maseches Pesachim, Achlekes HaTanur, and Hillel and the Chachamim, about what is the proper way to eat the matzah on Pesach night. So Hillel had a tremendous chiddush. Since the pasuk says, "Al matzah merodiyah," who? So Hillel understood that to mean you have to eat it mamish together. Yochlu, you have to eat three things together. You have to eat the Korban Pesach, you have to eat the matz and the mor. You have to eat mamish a sandwich. That's the mitzvah of a matzah and the yochlu. The reason Machlokes HaRishonim, that's really what Hillel said. According to one girsa, so Hillel didn't say you have to have the kezayis of Pesach in that sandwich. All you have to have is the matz and the mor in the sandwich. Then you eat the kezayis of Pesach separately. So there's two girsos. We didn't cheat this Hillel. Whether you have to have all three together, kezayis of matzah, kezayis of mor, and the kezayis of korban pesach, or whether bezman shabbos and mikdash erekayim, it's enough to have the kezayis of matzah, the kezayis of mor. How do we paskin with it? Hillel? So there are two different nischos, two different minhagim. You look from the Haggadah. So when we say zeich and mikdash hillel, so we say kenos and hillel bezman shabbos and mikdash erekayim hayak korech. And what's the next word? You know? What does it say in our Haggadah? Hayak korech. Depends whether you read the parentheses or not. So you most Haggadahs have printed hayak korech in parentheses pesach. Then it has matzah umar v'yochum v'yachas. So why do they put in the parentheses? Because as a kid, I never understood the parentheses. In the Maxwell House Haggadah, they write the parentheses. So why, hi, Maxwell House was mechavin? So the parents is that there were two different nischos in the Haggadah. Some Haggadahs had the word pesach, some didn't have, because there was a machlokes harishonim, the Shtam, the Rambam, machlokes harishonim, halacha, what the hillel say. But the Rabbanim, the Chachamim, didn't buy into this whole story. The Chachamim said that, the whole thing is not true. You don't have to have the matzah and the mor together. Forget it. If you have matzah and mor together, maybe not even yotzeh, according to the Chachamim. So therefore, the Gemara says, we're not exactly sure what to do, so therefore we try to cover ourselves on all bases. So we first eat the matzah separate, and then we eat the mor separate, and then, and only then, do we eat the matzah and the mor together to fulfill Hillel's shita. Then the Gemara tells us that even Hillel, if he lived with his man hazeh, would not suffice with just eating korech. Because in the old days when matzah was deraisa and morah was deraisa, morah is linked to Korban Pesach. So morah is only deraisa when you have Korban Pesach. So in the old days when both matzah and morah were deraisa, so then they can combine together to make a sandwich. But the Zman HaZeh that morah is derabanan, so the mitzvah derabanan cancels, it negates the mitzvah deraisa v'chilas matzah. So even Hillel would agree that if you eat matzah and morah together, the Zman HaZeh, you wouldn't fulfill anything. So therefore we try to make ourselves good according to everybody. We eat a little bit of matzah first, then a little bit of maror, and then as a zeichel, we eat the Pesach matzah with it. Pesach, we eat the matzah, maror biyachad, l'kayim, ashenem, matzah, simrom, yuchluhu. We shouldn't have bothered that since the chachamim were misakin to do this, we have to do the zeichel mikdash, so why don't we recite a bracha? We should make a bracha, bracha, tashem, l'kayim, tashem, l'kayim, tashem, l'kayim, tashem, l'kayim, tashem, l'kayim. So why don't we recite a bracha? So there are some Rishonim who say we don't make brachas on mitzvahs that are only zeich lemikdash, which is a very questionable klal because we probably do make brachas on other mitzvahs, take lulav all week, that's just omer maybe, so that's a questionable klal. So other Rishonim say the real reason why we don't make a bracha on korech is because we just said the bracha. We just made the bracha l'achilas matzah a minute ago. We just said the bracha l'achilas maror. So the bracha l'achilas matzah covers the korech. The bracha l'achilas maror covers that half of the korech. So that's what that minute is. We assume that the bracha of Achilas Matzah, the bracha of Achilas Maror, covers you for Korech. It's based on this, that the Rishonim write, it's obvious that a person is not supposed to speak. Because normally when you make a bracha, so the bracha, let's say a person makes a bracha and starts reading the Megillah, and stops in the middle of thought schmoozing. So that's not right. The bracha is supposed to relate to the entire mitzvah. So the Matzah and the Maror and the Korech, it's all part of the same, covered by the same bracha. So one should not speak from the moment that one makes that bracha of hamotzi, really from before, once he washes the tefillos yadayim from rachza until after korech, because you want the korech to be covered by the bracha. If the eved, a person spoke, if the eved doesn't make a new bracha, but clearly chetchila, that's the practice. And many people are not aware, this is the proper thing to do with the seder, and the time you wash the tefillos yadayim until after korech, there should be absolutely no talking, except obviously the brachas, the appropriate brachas that have to be said. There were some who even had the practice, Mishnah Berurah being called such an opinion, that saying of Zeich HaMikdash Kehillel really shouldn't be said where it appears in the Haggadah. It should really be said after Korech, because Zeich HaMikdash Kehillel, that goof is talking. So what right do you have to say Zeich HaMikdash Kehillel? Say it afterwards. And others say that's not a hefsek, that's also in you, that's related to the Korech. So Yesh V'Yesh, some who follow the practice where it appears in the Haggadah saying Zeich HaMikdash Kehillel before reading Korech, and there are others who follow the recommendation of the Mishnah Berurah to daf to say it after the Inyan of Korech. But that's the only possible talking that one can have. The brachas and the zeichel mikdash. But any other talking really should not be done unless it's with tzara. Let's say a person doesn't have enough morals, he has to go ask his wife to go bring out more or lettuce or something. If it's with tzara chamitzvah, then it would be okay. But if it's not with tzara, so then really one should not be talking at that point. There are some posts who have raised the question, what right do we have to talk any time during the meal on Pesach night, because according to what we said, and according to many Rishonim, the Ikar Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is the Afikoman, so then L'chor, the bracha should be chal from the beginning until the very end, like Moshe V'la Davadova Tkiya Shofar, we make a bracha L'shmo Kol Shofar, then we're not supposed to talk until the whole davening is over, until after the kolos, after the Chazos HaShatz. So the post can raise the question, why are you allowed to talk during the Pesach meal? So some said, that's a good way of cutting down the meal. That'll get you to be done by the Afikoman pretty quickly. But the minig ha'olam is, goes in gzeila tziva, rov tziva chol lamed bani. You know, people want to schmooze a little bit, it's hard to follow that. But at least the korech should be quiet. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. At least the korech, so a person really should not be speaking. The mitzvah achilas matzah is a mitzvah that's primarily on Pesach night, the Erev Teichel Matzahs. Even though if you look in the Chumash speaks about eating matzah the whole week of Pesach. Shibis Yom Matzahs Techelu. So, how come, in fact, there's no mitzvah achilas matzah the whole week? So the Gemara derives from a pasuk, the Vayyadim and Sedes Pesachim, special drasha. Kach nemra atosha bapeh, that the mitzvah is only on the first night, and the subsequent week of Pesach is only b'teres v'shus. But you're not allowed to eat chametz, obviously. If I have chametz, you're not really mechuyav to eat matzah. What's the eichel, what's the inner eichel? So there is a big machlokes haposkim that came to us. It's known as the Shiskas HaGra, but it's not really the Gra. The Gra said it, but the Gra was predated by many Rishonim already who said it. That true, there's not a chiyuv to eat matzah the whole week of Pesach, but it is a mitzvah kiyumis. It is the proper thing. It is the appropriate thing to do. And the more the better, the more the merrier, the more matzah one eats during Pesach, so the greater kiyum on mitzvah is the teres kiyum, even though it's not the teres chiyuv. If you don't do it, you're not going to be punished for it. If you don't eat matzah Pesach night, that's a bitul ha-mitzvah. That's a problem. But if you don't eat matzah on Thursday, chametz, so as long as you don't eat chametz, so it's not, you didn't do anything wrong, on the other hand, you didn't do anything right either. So the other chatchim, according to these poskim, including the Gra, one really should eat matzah the whole week of Pesach. But again, it's clearly not on par with the mitzvah Pesach night. I say this in contrast to a discussion that I had with somebody, it was a relative of mine, who came to visit us once on Pesach when I was single. He came to visit my parents on Chol HaMoed with his family, and I knew we were in for trouble because he not only did he bring his own food, he brought his own pots. So he came just for dinner on Pesach night. He brought his own pots. The dochak, I think he put his pots down on top of that burners. I think he put aluminum foil down first. But whatever, but so I knew we already weren't getting it off too well. So he came in, and he noticed on the box, on the table, was a box of machine matzahs. Happened to be machine matzahs, which were shmur matzahs, which were the 18-minute, and chumers and everything. And he walks in, he said in Yiddish, so I can't, I guess he gave away his background. He said in Yiddish, something, he says, the chometz. He says, machine matzahs, it's chometz. He said, no wonder he brought his own pots. Good. So the machine matzahs are chometz. I said, chametz, I don't think they're chametz. So he said, but even the shittosra, if they're not chametz, the chametz for the chilus matzah the whole week. So how can it be yaitzah chilus matzah with the machine matzahs? So the yemi says, you know, we're misnagdim, so he wasn't, but we're misnagdim, so we could probably be correct in biyotzeh, even by the same with machine matzahs. There are different opinions about that, about whether machine matzahs are really called the shema or not. So even by the same, many gedolei poskim held that that's okay, even considered to be mamish shmur lishma. But for the whole week of Pesach, so I responded by saying, there is no mitzvah b'chilas matzah the whole week, so if they're chometz, you talk right, but I happen to think they're not chometz, this is what the conversation was having. I said, l'shitascha, okay, but l'shitascha, if they're not chometz, so then I don't really think there's a mitzvah b'chilas matzah. So he said, no, he says, shteit and svurim, it says in the svarim, that the mitzvah b'chilas matzah the whole week of Pesach, and it's a greater mitzvah than the mitzvah by the Seder, a greater mitzvah. So I said to him, I don't know what svarim you read, but the svarim that I read, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, don't say that. They say explicitly that maybe there's a kiyum of matzah the whole week, maybe. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. But to say it's a greater mitzvah than achilas, that's just wrong. That's not our Masorah, that's not anyone's Masorah. That's not what it says in the Gemara. So I said to him, I beg to disagree. So then he responded to me, he says, and you know when the greatest mitzvah of matzah is? Greater than the Seder, and greater than the whole week of Chol HaMoed? Anyone know? Pesach Shani. He says, that's the greatest. He said, now I knew we were talking a different religion. He said, Pesach Shani. For the Bar Midrash HaChayken, the Tomei, and then those people, so it's mitzvah of matzah. He said, for we, when you eat Kedei Lecha Pesach Shani, you don't eat Kedei Lecha Pesach Shani, to say that it's a mitzvah d'araisa, greater than the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, is mamash ridiculous. So I didn't say that per mo, I'd say that to you guys years later. You know, I tried to be very respectful by pointing out that then when he wanted to offer me some of his food, I was afraid to eat. I said, I don't know what you make in your pots. I don't know, you have a different religion, I'm afraid that some chumras go both ways. So anyway, I've called part of him in terms of the mitzvah chilas matzah, the ikar mitzvah chilas matzah is clearly by the Seder. Maybe there's a kiyum for the rest of Pesach, maybe not, but you know, with bracha on and haraya, so it's not an absolute mitzvah. So according to the Rav, it's a good thing to do once you try to eat as much matzah as one can. And for sure, during the Seder, you want to try to eat as much matzah as possible.
Any questions?
That's the Seder, other things, whatever.
Is there a shiur how much mar is?
Yeah, the shiur for mar is also kezayis. The question is, how much is the kezayis? So the same question, how big kezayis is for matzah? The only thing is, it could be a little bit more makeup for mar, since it's only midirabanim. It depends what kind of mar you're using. If you're using leaves, so then you have to try to approximate it. It's about the volume of about an ounce or so. So you know the little schnapps glasses. Not that anyone would know about schnapps, but say little orange glasses. So which are about an ounce or so. So in theory, if you could stuff enough leaves into there, it's hard to figure that out because you know the leaves, there's a lot of air spaces in between. Take a couple of leaves, so that would be good.
Last, should you eat a kezayis karpas?
That's in the Chalukis of Rishonim. The Rambam says that you have to eat a kezayis karpas. That's a mitzvah sachil on Pesach night, and most people don't accept that. Our minig is not only not to follow the Rambam, that minig is bedafka not to follow the Rambam, because the Rishonim say when you eat karpas. So there's a whole question about whether you should make a bracha chrona on karpas. Problem is when we get to moros, so we don't make a bar priya dom on the moros. So that's a question in the Rishonim. Why not? So some Rishonim say because you just wash, so you never have to make a bracha before you eat food. On the other hand, the other Rishonim point out that that's only true when you eat something which is really part of the meal. you eat foods which are not really shy after the meal, you do have to make a bracha. So really, you should have had to make a bracha on the maror. So some Rishonim say, the reason why we don't make the bar pri adam on maror is because it's covered by the bar pri adam of karpas of an hour ago. So the question is, if you eat a kezayis of karpas, then you require to make a bracha chorona. You have to make a bracha, once you make a bracha, you can't, the bracha can't cover you over the maror. So the other meaning is, we have to try not to eat a kezayis of karpas. You know what the Rambam says to do.
No, I'm usually a technical.
But
I
try to curiosity.
When you say
a
kezayit,
I'm
gonna say a masa. Do you mean like the area of a kezayit or
the volume? The volume of the kezayit.
Yeah, why is the charoset sweet? Like, why
isn't
like apples and
nuts? Yeah, why is that? So the Gemara has a machlokes about charoset. What is charoset all about? According to some opinions, it's not much a mitzvah of charoset. According to others, the charoset is just necessary just to negate something in the Gemara that maybe not healthy, whatever. That's different opinions in the Gemara why it's for. But then the Rishami says that you're supposed to put ingredients into the charoset, supposed to put things that are reminiscent of Yetzias Mitzrayim kinds of things. So we pick on the Pesukim of Shir HaShirim, which mentioned different fruits and different things which Klai Yisrael are compared to. So the gozim, nuts are put in there, and other things. The Poskim talk about using the tapuach, the tachas tapuach or articha. So we usually translate tapuach to mean an apple. There are some who question whether that's really the correct translation. There are some who said that the tapuach that Chazal are referring to was more of a citrus fruit than an apple. So maybe you should put in lemon juice or something, or orange juice or something into it. And that's, most people don't do that. There's some more maps to that. Most of us use the stuff they send in the mail from Talzi, you know, the old, get a little bit of juice.
Is it a problem if I choose to eat a nice amount of matzah, so it's going to take a nice amount of time, eating slow, at a normal pace. But everyone else at the Seder is going to eat a little bit.
Yeah, so this is always, somewhat of an uncomfortable thing sometimes. Like in many things, sometimes a person has learned a little bit more, so there's a little bit more machpid in certain dukim and halachas, and everybody around the table, Avdafka, is there with him. So they're trying to wonder, we've been making a seder for 60 years, and we just take a bite and move on to the next thing, and he's eating in 3.5 matzahs. So, like anything else, you always try to be respectful, and maybe a little explaining beforehand would go a long way, but, a person shouldn't. If a person really, he has this rebbeim. I'm not saying a person is doing his own chumras, his own shtick, his own mishigasim, but he has a tradition from his rebbeim, how to fulfill the mitzvah properly. So then, he should try to explain to everyone who's interested in listening to him that why he's doing what he's doing. He should try as best as he can not to make a scene out of it, not to turn it into an opportunity for gaiva. But on the other hand, the person should do the mitzvah as best as he can.
No, but I'm going to ask, they're going to go on at the Seder.
So they'll go on, so you catch up. Yeah, you won't lose anything. You'll catch him by the soup you get, you catch him.
Do you have to eat the maror within a certain amount of time?
No, you can have a long break. You can have a 2-hour bag. How can the bracha still carry over? Yeah, it's a big question, how it could really be. How can the bracha carry over from one to another? It's difficult to understand that, but it's pretty simple.
Why don't we say that the maror is l'torech pas? Because we during korach we eat it with the matzah. So why don't we say that it's
The part that we eat together on the matzah mamish, you can explain that away. But the part that you eat before the korach, so you're eating it as a separate thing.
I'm saying, but don't we say with certain foods, like even if you don't necessarily eat it with bread, the fact that you can
those are usually foods which are bottled off as a pas. Let's say I have a piece of bread and now I have a little bit of tuna fish at the meal. So you don't make a new bracha on the tuna fish. The tuna fish is usually bottled off as a pas. It comes together with bread usually. But you have other kinds of foods that don't come together with bread. So we pass in that any food that comes normally together with bread, you don't make a new bracha. Any food which is bottled haspia, which is coming to fill you up, it's like potatoes. Person eats a side of mashed potatoes. So you don't say, I would never put mashed potatoes on bread, so therefore I have to make a new bracha on the mashed potatoes. That's not true. Tosfos writes that if it's bal hasviya, that's the ikra sudas, then you don't make a new bracha on that either. But other kinds of foods, like perhaps sometimes the desserts or other kinds of things, the guys are candy or something like we said before, in the middle of the meal, so then on the holidays, you'd have to make a new bracha.
So, for matzah and then Maror, you're supposed to eat a
kezayis
of each, right? And then
korach,
you're supposed to eat another
kezayis. Kezayis of each, right. Kezayis of matzah, kezayis of maror for korach. When you do korach, you should always try to take a little bit more than kezayis for each. I'll tell you why, korach is very messy. Half of it ends up on the floor. So you may start with kezayis, but you may end up with not too much left.
People eat maror and choroses together.
Well, no, the Gemara says it's supposed to be tovel the charoset. You're supposed to take the maror and dip it into the charoset, but the Pesukim say you're not supposed to eat it
four b'charoses together with it. You're supposed to shake off the charoses and just have basically the maror. You're basically supposed to be eating the maror. You're not supposed to be eating rub of charoses, because otherwise the charoses will negate the time of the maror and you're not really yotze. So you should just dip it in and then shake it off.
If you eat lettuce,
you have to dip it. No, you have to take the lettuce and dip it in and then shake it off. The lettuce doesn't have to have a bitter taste. You have to taste whatever the taste of the lettuce is. So we assume that the Rishami asks the question, how can you be yotze with lettuce if the roll is not bitter? So the Rishami says, if you leave it in long enough, it'll turn bitter. So the Chazanish said that means you have to leave it in long enough. But the Chazanish, none of our romaine lettuce is good. Nothing to do with bugs. It's not good for Chivas Mar, because it's not bitter. But the minig is against the Chazanish. The minig is to assume that it's a min mar, or that it's called mar, even though in this particular mar happens not to be bitter.
Is there a minimum size of how big your cup of wine should be?
Cup of wine has to be a revius. So there are different opinions how big a revius is. So the Ikra din is revius is about 3 ounces. That's the real shear for revius. There's some who have a larger shear, some like 4 ounces, 4.5 ounces, 5 ounces. There are yesh v'yesh, but the Ikra din, if it's more than 3 ounces, then it's fine.
Is lettuce the best thing to use for mar?
In terms of Hilchos Mara, we assume that lettuce is the best, that the romaine lettuce is the best. In terms of Hilchos Bugs, so then you have to just be careful. You have to make sure that the romaine lettuce that you're using doesn't have a bug problem. But in terms of Hilchos Mara, so then we assume that would be the best.
Yeah. It's even better than normal horseradish,
Well, the question is, there is a very, very big question in the post-game 300-400 years ago, whether horseradish is really a min Mara altogether. Because if you look at the Gemara in the end of the second breakfast of Sachar, the Gemara speaks about the different kinds of vegetables from Maror. So horseradish doesn't seem to match up to some of those physical properties that the Gemara is describing, which led a whole group of Chosim to say that horseradish is not really good. You're not really into the mitzvah with horseradish. And why for generations in Europe were they eating horseradish? Because they didn't have anything else. So what are you going to do? So anything else? So B'shas HaChak, somebody relied on the Mekilim that the horseradish is good as well. So I'm not coming to be mefakpik on the Minig Yisrael. My grandmother also ate horseradish. I'm sure my great-great-grandparents ate horseradish. So I'm not going to be motzi laz on the Minig of eating horseradish. On the other hand, many folks can maintain that at least there's a latest asafik about the validity of horseradish. So therefore, it's probably better that a person should try to dafka to use the lettuce. That the lettuce, we're pretty sure, is from the Chamesh Zminei Maror, is one of those 5 species of Maror. Rashi on the Gemara, the Sefer Pesachim, writes, gives you the old French word, the Latin word, for one of the meaning of Maror, and he uses the word lituga. So lituga is lettuce. That's the Latin word for a lettuce. So we assume that means the species of romaine lettuce. That was the prevalent lettuce that they were describing. Whether or not other types of lettuce, iceberg lettuce, something is acceptable, so those were different opinions. Ron Cutler was of the opinion that's also acceptable. So those who would follow Ron Cutler's position would probably have a less bug problem with the iceberg lettuce, which probably is less infested, at least in America, than the, I don't know what the story here is, than the romaine lettuce. But again, those who want to follow the classic minig of having mamish romaine lettuce, if they feel that was the only min lettuce they're really convinced about, so just have to make sure that it's cleaned appropriately. Again, what the standards are cleaned appropriately are way beyond the scope right now. Whatever the standards are for the rest of the year, the same standards are basic.
With regard to when you were saying that you shouldn't talk from Orkast Korek, what kind of talking?
That works from Rachta. When you wash the Tilsinai the second time, right before Motzi, you shouldn't open anything except for the brachas or whatever.
Just say the brachas, you shouldn't ask any questions.
No, you shouldn't open that point, unless you have a particular question that's relevant for the discussion of, you need another piece of matzah, something, you're right short of matzah. So if you ask, please go to the kitchen and get another box of matzah, so whatever's necessary, we'll talk a mitzvah. But otherwise, one should really not be covered.
The reason we dip the mar into the charoses is to, lessen the taste of the
mara? No, not really lessen the taste. The Gemara says that there was something dangerous that was inside, some kind of a poisonous something that was inside the mara, and somehow it was negated by the charos. It's hard for us to understand. We don't really have that anymore. So it's hard for us to understand exactly what the charos is doing. But it's not, it shouldn't be that you put so much charos in that you don't have any mara anymore.
That also mean that you can't talk until you finish the desires? Of like matzah or something?
No, for sure. You can't talk from the time you make the bracha until the end of Korach. So.
Now, if you once say took you Achilas Pras, which would be like 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
Is that you said?
No, I was just joking. I didn't mean. No. That's how things come out of a shiur. Guys, you walk away from Solosik. Kabbalah Kakula, you have 45 minutes, Steve. But you didn't hear what I said. I said you need 16 boxes of matzah, then you have 45 minutes, Steve. We'll never hear the whole thing. You only hear the...
When we're talking about the lesson only in the former threads, that's only about the water and the wheat. But let's say it costs more than normal bread.
Yeah. So the price doesn't transform it to be no longer a lechemoni. Halavai, that should be the halacha, but it's not. So whatever the charge is for it, that's what we're stuck with. And it's kind of like a esrog, an esrog. You never go buy an esrog in the store, fruit and vegetable store, plus 29 cents. So matzah, flour, and water should cost you about 29 cents also, but whatever. That's not the way the world works.
So the shear that you have for matzah, depending on what shear you have, do you have to take that shear also and apply that shear to Korach also?
Now, Korach, you have a right to be a little bit more makel because Korach is going to be Rabbanim. Once with the rice, you're really yotzik. So those who are able to eat matzah should eat whatever they should eat the normal shear of everything. Those who feel that they can't eat so much matzah, so the biggest shear, they choose the biggest shear for the first kedais and not for Kolmen, and then the smaller shear for Korach.
You say that you have to finish it on the before Chatzot at night. At the same time, we're supposed to like talk about it until we're tired
and
have to go to sleep. So does that
mean like after? Yeah, you have to say it 100%. Yeah, you have to say it then. You should. Well, the mitzvah called a marvelous supper applies the entire night. So we're not going to have to say this over. People shouldn't just go to sleep. You're supposed to learn about the space that you're supposed to talk about it too. 100%.
You have to use the same size kazayas for matzah mara, right?
Well, technically, if you use a little bit smaller for mara, because mara is only midrabanan. So I'm saying if a person has difficulty eating mara, so then you should try to consult with the rabbi to see what the size of the size of the
month is. Is it better to use wine for workups or
There are different opinions about that. Usually for regular kiddush during the year, we assume that there's no difference whether you use wine or grape juice maker and then, although some did disagree with that, but we I'm in against to assume that grape juice is acceptable within the chachilah. When it comes to dalakos, also there was a machlokes and gedolei haposkim. Rav Moshe was of the opinion that really on Pesach night you have to drink wine, because Rav Moshe felt that drinking dalakos is not just like making kiddush. Drinking dalakos is derecheres. So derecheres has to be something that not that should make you drunk, but has to be something that potentially intoxicating. And the Rav disagreed. The Rav held that if a person enjoys grape juice, so then forget, that's more derecheres. It's a personal. It's a question: is derecheres subjective or is derecheres objective? So there are different opinions about this lahalacha. There are certain circumstances, so we should definitely recommend people to use grape juice. Let's say sometimes pregnant women or something have, maybe it's not such a good idea for them to be drinking wine, whichever doctor, some doctors will tell them that. So maybe they should be drinking grape juice. Other people with other medical conditions, maybe should be drinking grape juice. People who are not supposed to be drinking wine for other reasons, maybe it's illegal for them to be drinking wine, or perhaps they have reasons why they shouldn't be touching any alcohol whatsoever. So such a person, somebody once asked me, they said that they had whatever, was that some kind of problem drinking, he was on some kind of a rehab program. So they said to him, and one of the rules is that he's not allowed to drink anything. Because come Pesach night, he wants to drink dalakos of wine. I said, for Shasadcha, you could rely on the rabbi. I said, for you, you should drink grape juice. So I said again, so the person has to ask, again, this is assuming that it's legal for the person to drink wine, so then those who want to follow Rav Moshe's opinion, so follow Rav Moshe.
Are you allowed to, for the hour of close up, use white wine and then pour a little bit of red wine?
Well, the Ikra didn't can really use white wine for the apicoses also. Some Rishonim said white wine is no good ever for kiddush, anything. But the Ikra didn't assume that white wine is really acceptable. Lechatchila, if you have red wine and white wine, the red wine is just as good. So lechatchila, the Pesukim say, even for regular kiddush, you should use red wine. If you have a particular white wine that's very fancy, you like that better, so then you could really even lechatchila use white wine. In fact, in Europe, there were some communities on Pesach night that only used white wine, because of blood libels. They didn't want to give even an opportunity for the girl to say anything. So there was such a minhag in some communities. There's another time during the year when we all insist on only using white wine. Anybody knows? We only use white wine. Time on Shabbos, it's not a chasana. We only make the bracha with white wine. That has nothing to do with halachic reasons. That's to do with that one poor Masada Kedushin who spilled a little bit of red wine on the college dressing and got sued for malpractice. So therefore, the minhag is that we only use the white wine. I kid you not, that's the only reason why. So there are some who have a kapay, they're like, they want to use white wine, the other hand, they really want a little bit of red in there, so they throw a little bit of red wine in. So that's the question in the Rishonim, is that mutter, regular Shabbos, had a problem with tzeveya, had a problem with dyeing, coloring the wine. So the ikar then we pass to that ain't tzeveya ba'eichlin, that the isra of tzeveya, dyeing things, doesn't really apply to foods and drinks. So the ikar then it's okay, but not everybody agreed to it, so there are some who don't like to do that. So the ikar then it would be okay, but mikar then it's not really necessary. again, assuming the white wine is better, but it's a regular white wine, regular red wine, so then, like every other Friday night, you should really try to use the red wine.
Is it better to stick to, like, one wine through all four kosos, or...
Well, in terms of dalakosos, it's not a problem. The only potential problem you can have is in terms of a bracha v'tov ha-meitiv. Like the halacha is that if you have different wines, and you, let's say, I start drinking one wine, and then I change and I switch to a higher quality wine, so then technically you have to make a bracha v'tov ha-meitiv. That's a big question, whether we really make the bracha at all. V'tov ha-meitiv may only apply if the second wine was just brought, you know, but if it was there all along, it was on the table, they knew about it. Questions about making a Hatov HaMeitiv. So we try, if possible, to avoid the Hatov HaMeitiv Shailas. So if a person, you know, doesn't have to, I would probably recommend just to stick with the same bottle to avoid any suffix brachas.
If one does eat gebrachas, is it permitted to dip the matzah in water to help it go down a little easier?
Yeah, so the Gemara says that you're not allowed to put the matzah into hot water. It would be a shalat matzah mevushelas. So that would be a problem. To put it a little bit into cold water, so technically speaking, that would be okay, provided that the matzah doesn't start to disintegrate. It starts to get very, very mushy or something, then it may lose its status of matzah. I'm supposed to say, it's probably not such a good idea to do it. Well, you can eat it, then you can take a little bit of water to drink with it also. You know, well, while you're eating the matzah, if you can't swallow the matzah, it gets a little... Usually the problem is for 2 hours, the same habit, your mouth gets very dry, and then you can't for that first piece of matzah, it just doesn't go down. You have a basak, it's just doing that. Everyone knows that feeling. So, and the then you can take a little bit of water to help it go down. For older people who have difficulty digesting the matzah, they have to soak the matzah in water. That would be okay. They should just try to be careful to soak it in cold water and really not to soak it for very long, just to kind of dip it in a little bit. If a person really has difficulty eating matzah, they can eat matzah meal. Get shmur matzah meal you can buy in the store. And you can eat a kadaish. They can take a little shop's glass of the matzah meal and you can eat it. That's also okay.
Can you drink water during your magid?
How do you drink water during the Maggid? You could. You know, in theory, you could. I usually don't. I usually drink water when I say shir. I never thought of drinking water during Maggid. But is there any reason why not? Well, it's a shalom that you can have another cup of wine during Maggid. Well, the chara not to drink water, if there's any reason why you can't drink water.
In terms of
kizaitim,
how big
are
any
shmur
matzahs,
you know, roughly? Like an entire one. I mean, how many kizaitim are there? It depends on the different shiur. There are some will say that a kizait is about a half, some will say it's about a quarter, some about a third, fifth. Yeah, it's also going to depend on the size of the shmur matzah. There's some shmur matzahs that are very, very small, some are very, very large, some are very, very thick, some are very, very thin. Those are also the matzah companies in America. So the Taylor Pupa matzahs are tiny, little baby matzahs. Some of the Laker matzahs are tremendous. The Haredi matzahs, they're breaking, you know, they're mamish crackers. They're tiny, thin. Other matzahs are very, very thick. So it's hard to give an absolute number. But you're talking within the range of a quarter to a third or a half. So something like that.
But we say a half is good.
A half of a regular average size shmur matzah, so lefi aniyos da'at, is definitely too much.
In terms of minhag, how come we can't follow it within Europe, like a couple hundred years ago? Most other things we usually follow within Europe. So why have to go back to like what they did earlier?
Well, it depends on zuat, in terms of the grain.
Potatoes.
No, so it depends. So you have to always, whenever you speak about following a minhag, you have to always try to figure out, well, why was there such a minhag? Let's say in Europe, why do they eat potatoes for Karpas? So the answer is because that's all they had, because they didn't have anything that was green. In Poland, the only thing that grew was potatoes. How's the song go? It's a year ago. Something was all they ate was potatoes. So
they probably only had green then.
What?
They probably only had green back then.
So. Right, so I'm saying so the question is, like, sometimes you have different practices that developed for hundreds of years in Europe, which were just responses to the fact that they couldn't do anything else. They couldn't do it any better. So what can you do? So they had to eat potatoes. According to some folks, that carpet should have to be yerek, should have to be green. So again, it's not meant for a din, but there's some who had such a fable. Say about the chrein. So there are some folks who say chrein is perfectly acceptable to chachila. There are others who said that it's not really acceptable, and the only reason why they used it in Europe is the mamish lays bread, didn't have anything else. So the Gemara has this. The Gemara has a sukkah. The Gemara has a sukkah. So the Gemara talks about a lulav ayovesh. Can you use a lulav which is dried out from the mitzvah of lulav? So one of the Tanaim says, of course you can, because Haraya, there was a certain place where they all used lulav ayovesh. And the other Tanaim said, because they didn't have anything else. You came to Haraya, they didn't have anything. It's a normal case where they do have things.
I remember how you said that the romaine lettuce doesn't really have like a bitter taste, so it's better to like mix it with like the horseradish or something. Just
no,
so
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that we assume that it's okay. I don't need any terrain
if what's going to say that carpas should be a green vegetable, doesn't matter what, like green
vegetable? No, there's no real halachan, but no way to ask for me. Some people use celery. I personally don't like celery too much. I usually take a green pepper or something, or a cucumber or something. But I usually use. Like what it tastes, that's all. You don't eat that much anyway, so that's not good diet. Is there a minimum of 4 cups? Are you drinking grape juice or wine? What are you drinking? Drinking grape juice, you can drink a lot during the meal. Drinking wine, I wouldn't recommend it. During the meal itself, you're technically allowed to drink more. Afterwards, there's going to be a problem because you're not supposed to be mosip al kosos. But any drink, any extra drink that will be done should be done during the meal itself.
Where can anybody get CDs?
Oh, yeah. So we have to.
Torah
web
network?
No, it's not through Torah web. You know, if anyone wants CDs, see these halacha analysis of the Seder, I still have a bunch left at home. Most of you guys can go.
I know a lot of guys might be home.
A lot of guys will be home. If anybody wants, so let's see how we contact Dobie Fisher. No, Dobie Fisher. Yeah, Dobie Fisher. He's a mess.